from NPR and Chicago Public Radio. This is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Korva Coleman, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Korva. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Great to have everybody here. Great to have Korva filling in for the vacationing Carl. We have a great show for you today. The Reverend Run, founder of the hip-hop pioneers Run DMC, will be joining us later to play Not My Job. That's right. But first, the president is going to mark the start of school by speaking to school kids nationwide next week, encouraging them to work hard and stay in school. Conservatives, including the Florida Republican Party, have accused the president of trying to indoctrinate our children with his, quote, socialist agenda, unquote. This is crazy talk. I have three school-age children who take what they want from the productive members of the family, demand constant subsidy, and refuse to earn their own keep. How much more socialist could they get? We are not trying to indoctrinate you. Well, we are, but we're not succeeding. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jay Golden, and I'm in San Francisco.
Well, what do you do there?
Well, this is a little embarrassing. My job title is genius.
Really?
Yeah.
So is mine, but only in my mind. So I'm guessing you're one of those geniuses at the Apple Store, at the Genius Bar, right?
That's correct.
Is that a heavy burden to be a professional genius?
It is. It is indeed.
I understand. Well, we'll see how you do today. Well, we're glad to have you with us, Jay. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a television personality and a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hello, Mo.
Hi, Jay.
Next, it's one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi. What do you say when you absolutely don't know the answer to something at work?
Well, we can't say that. We've got to find the answer.
That's a stupid question.
And lastly, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hello.
Hi, Jay.
So,
I get some of my best drinking done at genius bars.
Strangely, you feel more like a genius the longer you stay.
Absolutely.
I've had that experience.
I know everything by the time I leave.
You're going to play Who's Korva This Time, Jay? Korva Coleman, filling in for Carl, is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, here is your first quote.
Now, we don't know who bit off his finger. The man went to the hospital seeking to get his pinky reattached.
That was a reporter from a local news station in Southern California, KTLA, talking about an incident in which people got so exercised that somebody either got really angry or really hungry and bit off somebody's finger. What's getting people so riled up?
I'm going to go with healthcare.
Yes, indeed, healthcare. The long, hot summer of the healthcare town halls came to a rather unappetizing climax this week when an anti-healthcare reform protester socked a pro-reform protester, and in the ensuing scuffle, the pro-guy decided to take home a souvenir of the anti-guy. In an interesting twist, the anti-government healthcare guy got quick and excellent medical care provided by the government because he's on Medicare. President Obama, of course, is very concerned about his health care proposals. So the White House announced that next week he'll go before a joint session of Congress to try to take control of the debate. Liberals say it's about time, but they're worried that in order to get something done, Obama will water it down too much. By the time he's done, the entire health care bill will be just the government urging us all to sit up straight.
I don't really love the whole idea of how we're going to be killing seniors, though. I mean, I have to say.
Really?
Maybe. I haven't been paying a lot of attention this summer, but why wouldn't you just start with sophomores?
They're so silly.
As I said, I haven't been paying a ton of attention to it. But
what does it mean that the campaign against health care reform has been so successful? I mean, does it mean that Obama has simply failed?
Well, I think the big mistake was doing it during the summer.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, if you know, in December is when you release all the art films that make people think. This is Transformer 2
right.
season.
Right, that's true. Really?
People aren't going to respond to anything but the broad strokes.
So maybe if healthcare had been packaged as a teenage blockbuster movie, lots of car crashes.
Yes.
And then you see people whisked away to an emergency room.
Yeah. It's like you have Megan Fox.
Megan Fox.
I need an exam. Who's going to pay for it? And America would be like, me!
Yes.
You know? That's what we needed.
Yes, I want it now, and then I can't wait to see it again next summer for Death Panel 2.
Yeah. Death Panel 2, Die Harder. All right, let's move on.
Die Hard with a policy.
All right, Jay, here is your next quote.
Welcome to our garage sale. As you know, we're trying to raise some extra money here, getting rid of the old stuff we don't use anymore.
Yay. It's like he's standing here flexing. It's that good. That was somebody last weekend inviting people to buy his old stuff, which included some 600 vehicles, thousands of pieces of office furniture, some surplus prison uniforms, to name just a few items. Who was it?
That sounds like the governor.
The governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California. So you know that old... That's right. Jay got it right. He is a genius. You know that old bumper sticker, wouldn't it be great if the government had to hold a bake sale? That's next. Has anybody looked into the possibility that Arnold Schwarzenegger really is a robot from the future sent to kill us all? Anyway, to raise...
First I break the budget.
Anyway, to raise some money...
Snap its scrawny little neck.
Anyway, to raise some money, the governor set up a sale of stuff that was no longer useful to the state of California. Old state police cruisers, office equipment, the city of Oxnard... Steve Gutenberg, you know. Jay, here's your last quote.
We can now officially have the Punisher target the entire cast of Hannah Montana.
That was a tweet by a comic artist. He was responding to the big news that who was buying Marvel Comics?
Oh, wow. I know that Disney bought them, but I don't know who the comic artist was.
No, you don't even know who the comic artist was. All you needed to know is that Disney bought Marvel. You did it. You answered the question. Well done. Disney bought Marvel. The $4 billion sale is part of Disney's campaign to control every character in America, from Hannah Montana to Wolverine to your Uncle Morty, who gets drunk at family weddings and tells Honey Youngman jokes. What a character.
So what do you think, in which way will Disney ruin which character?
Well, I think the Incredible Hulk is going to go on an amazing journey with his dad and bond with him.
Right.
Figure out why he was so angry all along.
No, I think so. Yeah. Korva, how did Jay do?
Well, apparently Jay really is a genius, Peter. He got 3 right, and he'll win Carl Castle's voice on his home answering machine.
Well done, Jay. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Mo.
Yes.
A controversial decision by Swedish furniture maker IKEA has the company facing an international backlash. Customers around the world are horrified at IKEA's decision to change what?
Oh, gosh. It can't be their logo. That's too
It's boring. Close, actually, to their logo.
Is it not their color scheme?
No.
Does it have anything to do with their directions or their...
It has to do with their printed catalogs.
Oh, okay, that their catalogs are now, you're going to have to put the catalogs together without any instructions?
Yeah. But no, here's people were crying all over the world. What the Helvetica, they were saying.
Oh, they've changed their font.
They did. We all know the IKEA font, right?
Yes, I love the IKEA font.
But the ads... from the Swedish furniture maker IKEA caused horror, not because they'd raised the price in the Bjorkful candle holders, but because they changed their font. No more with the stylish B.B. Sneer duvet covers advertised in the Futura font we all know and love, but instead they used that cheap, trashy, a revised font, Verdana.
Verdana?
Verdana!
That trollop. Twitter instantly erupted with complaints. IKEA, stop the Verdana madness, came a plea from Tokyo. Words can't describe my disgust, said a disgusted Australian, using words.
To describe his disgust?
IKEA said, this is true. They switched to Verdana because they said it's more cost-effective.
Wait, what was the one they were using before?
They were using Futura.
Oh,
Futura.
That runs you by the letter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'll run you, especially with the consonants. They add up.
Did you say Bjorkful at one point?
Yeah, I said Bjorkful.
But she's Icelandic.
I'm just telling you the name of the candle holders are Bjorkful.
Oh.
It's not a joke?
It is. Okay. It's not a joke. Bjorkful. You are so Bjorkful to me.
Can't you see?
I think that should be a Marvel character.
Bjorkful. This is I, Bjorkful. The power to disassemble myself and reassemble myself anywhere with a small minimum of cursing. I have the power to furnish divorced men's apartments. Thanks, everybody. Right now, it's time again for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Tara Sheffy from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, Tara, how are things in Louisville?
Beautiful. It's great right now.
It's glad to hear. What do you do there?
I work at a bank in the internet department.
Oh, really? So you're dealing with all the people that are trying to bank online?
Yes, that's me.
Right, so we're trying to do away with, like, tellers and stuff.
Oh, no, we need them, too.
Okay, that's good. Well, welcome to the show, Tara. Now, you're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Corva, what is Tara's topic?
Good fences make good neighbors, and so do pit bulls and razor wire.
Neighborly feuds are nothing new, but this week we read a story about a battle between neighbors that got a little bit out of hand. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about folks not acting too neighborly. Choose the real story, you'll win Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Yes, I'm ready.
First, let's hear from Adam Felber.
You're the socialist mayor of a Parisian suburb, and one day you wake up to find that the conservative mayor of the next town over has taken the busiest road between your towns and, zut alors, unilaterally made it a one-way street leading into your town. What can you do? Well, if you are Mayor Gilles Catoire, or Catoire, you took your stretch of that same road and made it one way leading into your rival's town. Voila! What the French call le gridlock. In what has turned out to be an almost embarrassingly perfect metaphor for partisan paralysis, the heavily trafficked D909 road is now a hopeless snarl of a one-way road running into itself, requiring the deployment of local and national police to reroute the bewildered, angry motorists. So far, Catoire and his rival, Mayor Patrick Balkany, show no signs of relenting in their automotive tête-à-tête. So for now, you can feel free to plan a trip to the border of these two fine towns, just not from it.
Two mayors fighting over a one-way street, which way it's going to go outside Paris. Your next story of non-neighborly neighbors comes from Roxanne Roberts.
After years of friendly rivalry, things turned ugly at the Minnesota State Fair for the pie-loving residents of Douglas and Cod counties. Home bakers from the two rural communities have won first place at the fair's pie contest for the past 6 years, but this year's matchup was marred by scandal. Cod's Emily Wagner accused Douglas's Jennifer Johnson of using imported cherries in her pie. Johnson countered that her rival's mock apple pie used store-bought pie crust and produced wrappers she claimed came from Wagner's garbage. Things came to a head last week when the two women met at the fair's final bake-off judged by Governor Tim Pawlenty. Johnson's nephew actually tossed a pie at Wagner's grandson, who threw a punch back and inadvertently destroyed a butter sculpture of new Vikings quarterback Brett Favre. Both women were disqualified, and Pawlenty awarded the blue ribbon to Anoka's Christy Thompson, a 12-year-old rookie who entered a banana cream pie. Quote, "Pies are supposed to make people happy, and banana cream pies make me very happy," the governor told the Star Tribune.
A fight between pie makers at the Minnesota State Fair. Your last story of feuding neighbors comes from Mo Rocca.
If you like peas and carrots, you may have to start mixing them yourself. California's carrot growers have fired a shot across the bow at their pea grower neighbors and affiliated frozen food packagers. They want the classic veggie mix renamed Carrots and Peas. Says California carrot spokesman Ken Sunshine, my client consistently polls higher than peas. Carrots are bigger, brighter, can be eaten raw, or consumed as a liquid. The very sound of pea juice is revolting. Peas aren't even vegetables, they're legumes. Anyone who has failed to notice that peas and carrots is not alphabetical is, well, pea-brained. Unless their demands are met, carrots are threatening to partner with the increasingly popular kale. Pea publicist Matt LeBove is undaunted. Quote, peas are powerhouses of vitamin C, B9, and yes, A. Peas are prepared to go it alone if need be. With all due respect, carrots know where they can stick it.
All right. What normally friendly neighbors are fighting? Is it from Adam Felber, two mayors of adjoining towns outside Paris who are fighting over a one-way street? From Roxanne Roberts, pie makers at the Minnesota State Fair? Or from Mo Rocca, the people who farm peas and the people who farm carrots in California? Which of these is the real story of a fight between friends?
Okay. I really want to go with Mo just because I love him so much.
Go Kentucky!
But
my old Kentucky home.
Suck up.
But I think I'm going to have to go with Roxanne's story because I know that the contest at the state fair can get pretty serious.
Have you ever been to the Minnesota State Fair? Because that whole Minnesota nice thing, nonsense. People are vicious.
It sounds like it.
It's crazy. So your choice then is Roxanne's story of the feuding pie makers. Yes. At the Minnesota State Fair. Well, we actually spoke to a reporter at NPR who covered this story.
This is Eleanor Beardsley reporting from Paris about that one-way street situation today. Very typical about two local mayors fighting for power, fighting for their fiefdoms.
There you are. I'm afraid that was Eleanor Beardsley calling from Paris, not Minnesota. Thus, Adam had the right story, the true story about the two Parisian mayors who can't agree on the direction of that one-way street. You did not win our prize, but you did earn a point for Roxanne for her deliciously nasty story about a feud in her home state of Minnesota. Mm. So thanks so much for that.
I'm going to send you some carrots and kale. You'll love it.
Yeah,
I'll take it.
Thank you so much, Tara.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now the game where we ask people who've done everything to try something else. We call it Not My Job. Before Kanye West, before Jay-Z, and God knows before Eminem, there was Run DMC, the pioneering hip-hop act out of Queens, New York, that sold millions of records in the 80s and 90s and introduced the world to a brand new kind of music. Now, Run of Run DMC was born Joseph Simmons. He's now known as Reverend Run. Yes, he's an ordained reverend. And he's the star of his own reality series on MTV, Run's House. With his wife, he's written the new book, Take Back Your Family, Reverend Run. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, thanks.
So first things first, you've been known by a lot of names. You were born Joseph Simmons. You're known as Run, DJ Run, DJ Run Love, Reverend. Well, how do you like to be addressed these days?
Rev, just call me Rev.
Rev, okay, Rev. So Run DMC, for those who may not be familiar with your work, you were not the first rap group, but the first superstar rap group, the first rap group that was on the cover of Rolling Stone, the first to sell a lot of records. Is that about right?
Yep. We had a major crossover hit with Aerosmith. It was a remake of Walk This Way.
Right. And were you guys started out in the 80s, coming out of Queens, because we didn't have the history of groups like Run DMC, frankly, and Public Enemy and all the guys who came after you, did you know where you were headed? Did you have any idea how big hip-hop and you guys specifically could get?
No, our thoughts were, let's get it on the WBLS was our radio station. So we called in, we had a record, and we act like we were somebody else, as if they knew who we was in the first place. And we're like, Jam Master Jay's name was Jason, and he said, It's Jim. Can you play that new record by Run DMC called It's Like That? And we heard that, and then they played the record, and we went running screaming down the block to our parents. Our record's on the radio. And that was, you know, a local radio station. And next thing you know, we were traveling to North Carolina, and we just started moving all around. And it just got bigger and bigger, and it just kept, you know, it got bigger than us and our thoughts.
Hip-hop is totally mainstream today, for good or for ill. But at the time, did you have to put up with, like, people, I don't know if you care, but people saying, well, what kind of musical group are they? They're not even singing.
Exactly. We it was really bad. That's a good question. We brought turntables, and the promoters would say, where's your band? And we used to say, in the bag. And it would be two turntables and a mixer. And then once Jam Master Jay finished performing on the turntables, they understood that we were some bad brothers from Hollis, Queens.
There you are. I want to get to what you're doing now, but what you're doing now is so different from those days. So, I mean, did you ever, you know, back in those days, back in the 80s, did you ever turn to your partner and say, yeah, this is great, you know, this vast success, international touring, money, but one of these days I'm going to write a parenting book.
I didn't think that, but LL Cool J said something to me one day. I used to come out and scream to the audience, this is my house. But I'd use, you know, a word that I don't want to use now.
Yeah, of course.
And LL said to me, one day I could imagine you saying, this is my church. And he said, you remind me of a preacher standing up there at the Madison Square Garden in front of all these people. And I just kind of looked at him and smiled. And here it is, years later, I'm the Rev Run. So I've always been into touching people in a inspiring way. And that's what I'm doing now with this book and with the television show. I believe I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Now let's talk about the television show. The television show is a reality show about you, your wife, and your kids. You live in a big house in New Jersey. And it's vaguely like the shows we've seen before about other families, the Osbournes, whatever you want to pick. But the difference is everybody in your family is really nice, has their act together, and you all get along, which is something.
Well, people like that. You know, we had to shove that down MTV's throat. They were like, you mean to tell me that you're a rapper, become a reverend with a normal family who sits in a tub and tweets out words to people, and you expect people to like it? And I looked at them and I said, yeah. And after the first episode, we were the fastest picked up show in MTV history, and now we're six seasons later, and people love it.
Wait, back up for a second. I want to hear you tweet from the bathtub?
Yeah, I send out words of wisdom every morning. That's what I used to do. So I said, let's show people what I do. So we just had, the only difference is we had to put some Mr. Bubble there so you didn't see everything.
Right. So, okay, so you changed it a little bit for TV, because that was my question. I wanted to see how real it was. So in reality, you would not be using the bubble bath. You'd be with your BlackBerry in the bathtub sending out words of wisdom.
Yeah, I send them out to my friends. But early on, it was about, you know, like 50 friends and a couple of people in the music industry, and now it's hundreds of thousands of people that I send words of wisdom out to every morning, and I do it on MTV on the show, so it's become a quite popular thing. And anybody that wants to join, just you can join too and get the words from the tub.
You ever drop your phone in the tub?
No, but recently I had a soap in one hand and the BlackBerry in the other, and I stuck my hand, the wrong hand, in the tub and realized that the soap was up and the BlackBerry was down.
Oh, no, it's hard to tweet on a bar of ivory. I want to ask about one of the things that's, I think, appealing to viewers about the show is frankly your lifestyle. You're a wealthy man, and we see that in the show, your house, your car, your Rolls Royce, and your basketball court. Is because your ministry is about families, do you find that aspect of your life is a help or a hindrance in reaching people?
It's helpful. People understand that, first of all, if it was just a very religious show, nobody would watch it. It has to have some element of, you know, a couple of toys that I have, but that's not the focus. You look at that, you're like, wow, thank God this old school rapper's doing well. That's your first thought. It's great.
That was my first thought, because I was worried about you.
Yeah, well,
and I'm like, oh, thank God he's got a Rolls. All right.
Oof. Yeah, where I come from, many old school rappers have made money then squandered and lost
it
all.
Yeah, that's true.
The point of the whole thing I'm trying to put to you is my show, the thing that people come to is not because of the car and the basketball court. They come because this is a show that's about a well-put-together family, and that's what people come for.
You've referred yourself, of course, as an original old school rapper. Is there anything that you guys said or did in your day back when you were younger that say, the DJ run, that the Reverend run now disapproves of or has changed his mind about?
The Bible says when you're a kid, you do kiddie things. When you get older, you put it away if you're smart. You know? So you grow up, hopefully, or you keep being stupid. Kids are stupid.
Yeah. Well, Rev Rum, we're delighted to have you with us, and we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
Walk DMC.
So you're Rev Run. You founded Run DMC. So naturally, we wondered, what might you know about walking? Specifically, race walking, the comic relief of international... Race walking. This is an athletic event where athletes race against each other, but they're not allowed to run. They can only walk as fast as they can. We're going to ask you three questions about race walking. Get two right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on the home answering machine. Carva, who is Rev Run playing for?
He's playing for Amber Barger of Sacramento, California.
Are you ready to play?
Okay.
Here we go. First question. Race walking has its own lingo, of course. You might hear which of these phrases around a race walking meet. A walker with style but not speed is called a race flaunter. B, a particularly good walker called a super stroller. Or C, the second place finisher is called, of course, the walker up.
I guess B.
You're going to go B, the super stroller. That guy's a super stroller. No, I'm afraid it was C. It was walker up, because they're not allowed to run.
So I had a feeling that was the answer, but I didn't want to win, I guess.
I guess so. Examine your own self-destructive nature. But that's okay. And you still have two more chances. You can still win this. The next question. Race walking has played an important part in pop culture. Now, as in which of these? A, Cary Grant's last movie, Walk, Don't Run, in which he plays Cupid to an American race walker and his young female landlord. B, the original video for Bob Dylan's Blowin' in the Wind featured world record-holding race walker Anatoly Vedyakov showing how many roads a man must walk down. Or C, Maurice Ravel said the stately march toward a climax in his famous piece Bolero was inspired by watching a race walk.
C.
You're going to go for C, that the Bolero was inspired by a race walk?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, man.
No, it was actually... It was A, Cary Grant's last movie. It was called Walk, Don't Run.
I figured that.
Yeah.
He didn't want to flaunt.
All right. He didn't want to flaunt. Here's the last question. Now, one of the things about race walking is, well, why don't these guys just start running? It would be faster. Thanks to an experiment carried out by an investigative TV show, we know a race walker will, in fact, run if A, he thinks nobody's watching, B, the running surface is heated to 200 degrees, or C, he is attacked by sword-wielding samurai.
I like A already, straight off the top.
You think he thinks nobody, you think if you take a race walker, you say, oh, nobody's watching, you just race walk, we'll go.
No,
you
think,
listen, if it's wrong, I'm telling you, it sounded right to me.
All right, so you're going to choose a race walker. That may well be true, we don't know, because we've always watching them. What was proved on TV is that a race walker will start running if he's attacked by samurai. This was done in a Japanese TV show, of course, where they got an actual world champion race walker. They didn't tell him what was happening. They put him on a track. They said, we just want to see your technique. And he was race walking around, and they released six guys with samurai swords to chase him. And you better believe he started running. And we will post a link to this amazing video on our website. Corva, how did Rev Run do?
Well, I can tell you the Rev Run is a very blessed man, Peter.
Thank you very much, but I lost badly.
You lost. You lost them all, Rev.
Yeah. Oh, well.
You got none right.
Rev Run is the star of Run's House on MTV. He's co-written the new book, Take Back Your Family, with his wife, Justine. He'll, of course, always be the Run in Run DMC. Rev Run, thank you so much for joining us here on Wait, Wait. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody. In just a minute, Corva devours a pastrami on rhyme in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call. 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, some world political news for you. Japan will soon swear in a new prime minister, Yukio Hatoyama. And Mr. Hatoyama's wife, Miyuki, is already something of an international sensation after claiming that she once did what?
That she went to Venus.
She did. She rode a triangular UFO to Venus. It's becoming common.
That's ridiculous.
My favorite story ever.
Triangular?
This is awesome.
Yeah, it's become common for first ladies to dabble in the supernatural. Remember Nancy Reagan's meetings with psychics in the White House, or when Lady Bird Johnson transfigured herself into an actual bird? Well, Mrs. Hatoyama not only hangs out with aliens, she travels with them. In a book published last year with the frank title, Very Strange Things I've Encountered, unquote, Mrs. Hatoyama says, quote, while my body was asleep, I think my soul rode on a triangular-shaped UFO and went to Venus. It was a very beautiful place, and it was really green, unquote. This is interesting. Mrs. Hatoyama also mentions that traveling on that same UFO, South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford. Apparently, as it turns out, he wasn't in Buenos Aires either.
He was hiking the Venusian Trail.
Exactly.
And we're so boring. In this country, if the first lady is abducted by aliens, it means she was dragged across the border to Tijuana.
No, not the same.
Ho-hum.
Mo, many refrigerators now come with environmentally friendly coolants, making them more energy efficient. But London's Daily Mail reports that some of the nifty green coolants also make refrigerators do what?
Now all I'm thinking about is Venus, because they're green. The green coolants in refrigerators.
Environmentally.
Oh, they're eco-friendly coolants.
But the problem is that in addition to
making... Not anti-freeze.
Maybe that's what the Japanese first lady was saying about Venus. They're very environmentally conscious.
They are. The point of all this.
The point is that there's eco-friendly
coolants. There's eco-friendly
coolants
in these refrigerators. And they're very eco-friendly. They're terrific. But they also sometimes do what?
They get very preachy. And they wag your finger when you don't separate the paper from the plastic.
Right.
They're making your food go rotten.
Can I give you a hint?
Yes.
This would explain why in some cases you find your Hellman splattered on the dining room wall.
Oh, it's regurgitating mayonnaise. What it does is it creates an explosion.
It blows up is what you're looking for.
It blows up, yeah.
It explodes.
It detonates, yeah.
Does the roof... Wait. Is it the entire refrigerator blows up or just things in the refrigerator?
The entire refrigerator explodes. It's like Guy Fawkes Day every day over there in Britain. as refrigerators are spontaneously blowing up all over the country. While it's true that British food has its own dangers, the fridge explosions are being blamed on coolant leaks in so-called green freeze refrigerators. Mm. Instead of harmful CFCs, these refrigerators use butane as a refrigerant. That's great news for the ozone layer. But it means your fridge is basically a giant Zippo lighter filled with food. Green Freeze is now remarketing the refrigerators as dual-purpose devices. On the one hand, they keep food fresh, and then, on a whim, they instantly cook it for you.
But it explodes. Basically, this thing explodes and
crashes fire, blows up.
Yeah. Wow, one person's explode is another person's self-cleaning.
Roxanne, a Chinese man narrowly escaped death after jumping into a raging river to escape what?
His wife.
Exactly right. Did you guess, Roxanne, or did you know?
No, it was a total guess.
Total guess, yeah.
Total guess.
Joe, a truck driver, was in a ferry. He's on the ferry in the truck with his wife on the 2-kilometer-wide Yangtze River at night. And he was spotted running from the cabin of his truck, hands over his ears, shouting, quote, I can't stand it any longer. His wife ran out after him, and he shouted, I need a break, and he hurled himself overboard. A crew member told a Chinese paper, quote, we immediately found lamps to light up the water, but found nobody. The possibility of survival can be zero, unquote. But later that night, Zhao turned up on shore. Panting, he told police, quote, I felt I was dying, but even that's better than my wife's nagging, unquote. He was taken to a nearby police station where, and this is true, his wife was waiting for him.
That's very funny. Wow.
I'm only treating me like a dog. I'm tired of my only treating me like a dog. I'm gonna go back on the hill. I'm gonna buy my own.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, and our upcoming shows in Santa Barbara, Pasadena, and our December show in Atlanta, Georgia. Tickets for Atlanta, by the way, go on sale September 11th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi there.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Luis Pesqueta from Watertown, Massachusetts.
Hey, beautiful Watertown. I know it well. How are things there?
Weather's been a little crazy, but, you know, hopefully getting better.
That's good. What do you do there?
I'm an engineer. Outside of Boston.
Computer engineering or real engineering?
Electrical engineering.
Oh, I see. So you actually create actual physical objects.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, welcome to our show, man. Corva Coleman right now, filling in for Carl, is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you'll be a winner, of course. Here is your first limerick.
This amusement park won't raise alarms, but B.O. might cause bodily harm. And when it gets hot and you ride rides a lot, we beg of you, don't raise your...
arms.
Yes, arms. Very good. You love the amusement park, but you can't stand the sweaty stench? Thorpe Park in Surrey, England is for you. The amusement park has implemented a new Say No to B.O. campaign that bans visitors from raising their arms while on the rides. The spokesperson says the combination of hot summer temperatures and scary rides makes people sweat more than normal, and the rule is, quote, the best way of ensuring our guests have the most enjoyable experience and aren't exposed to any unsavory armpits, unquote.
Do we know that the majority of B.O. emanates from armpits?
That is the general belief. That's the conventional wisdom.
Why? Yes, we do, Mo.
No, I think...
unequivocally, we know that.
I don't know that. I mean, I don't go around sniffing like
sniffing people.
But I mean, I think it's...
Well, I do, and I can tell you.
If you have B.O., I think it's more of a general aura.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Pigpen. Remember?
Yeah.
It was all around him. It wasn't just...
You're was citing dirt. A cartoon character.
It's a metaphor. It's totally fine.
Yes.
Here, Luis, is your next limerick.
I'm ready.
My daughter seems just a tad reckless, and she's getting far more than her neck kissed. I must raise the appeal of the day's early meal. She won't stray if she has a good...
breakfast.
Right. Very good, Luis. Hey, teens, teenagers everywhere, you're looking to rev up your social lives? Then put down the mini-wheats. That's the advice from a new study from, of course, Japan, which determined that people who skip breakfast in their early teens tend to lose their virginity a year and a half earlier on average than their well-fed counterparts at 17 and a half rather than 19. The researchers speculate that the teens who ate breakfast had a more stable home life and that discouraged them from early sexual activity. However, an alternate theory is that it's hard to look sexy with Cocoa Puffs stuck to your lower lip. Plus, one teen said, but sure, sex seems fun, but Frosted Flakes are great.
Is it that the young women are eating breakfast that they'll have... that they won't be able to be having sex at that time? Or?
Well, I have a feeling that this, as they say in the statistics business, is correlation, not causation. In other words, in reality, there's
probably... You're saying that nice girls eat breakfast.
I'm saying that... That's what I'm saying, Adam.
Have you heard of breakfast in bed?
Here is your last limerick.
To my pleas, the professor is deaf, and I can't find an impartial ref. Because I was cheating... my grades took a beating. I got a mark worse than an...
F.
F, exactly right, Louise. The new grade at Simon Fraser University in Canada is called FD. The good news is, now an F doesn't sound that bad, because at least it wasn't an FD. That stands for failure with dishonesty. Think, you know, the war in Iraq. It's extra shameful because it says you were cheating and you failed, which means you're bad at learning and at cheating. The college hopes the FD will add a stigma to academic dishonesty and warn students that employers will see it on their permanent record. Some students are upset, saying, like, one says, quote, it's like having a scarlet A pinned to your chest. Oddly, that student, having slept through English Lit 101, had no idea he had just made a literary reference. Corva, how did Luis do?
Well, Peter, Luis got three answers right, so he's going to win Carl Castle's voice on his home answering machine.
Well done.
A dream come true.
Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you, guys. See you in Boston.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Corva, can you give us the scores?
I can, Peter. Roxanne is in the lead with 4 points. Adam is in second place with 3 points. Mo is in third place with 2 points.
All right. I liked how you generated some suspense there. I didn't know who was going to be third. It was so exciting. It was great.
The mystery contestant.
All right.
Who was that third guy?
Mo, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Candidates began emerging to fill the Massachusetts Senate seat left by the late blank.
Ted Kennedy.
Right. Sesame Street's Elmo and Gordon will be appearing in television spots, encouraging good hygiene as a way of preventing another outbreak of blank.
Swine flu.
Right. In an interview with Sean Hannity, Tom Ridge clarified that he was musing, not accusing, when he said in his book that he was pressured to raise the blank before the 2004 election.
The threat level.
Right, terror alert level. After 2 weeks of silence, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown admitted that he had agreed with Scotland's decision to release the blank bomber.
The Pan Am bomber. The Lockerbie bomber.
Yeah. To keep suicidal people from climbing onto their bridge, officials in Guangzhou, China, have blanked.
They have eliminated the bridge.
No, they have smeared the bridge with butter. Mm. Best-selling novelist and Vanity Fair columnist Blank died last week at age 93.
Dominic Dunn.
Right. Because of a lack of funding, the PBS show Blank was canceled after 26 years on the air.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say Nova.
No, Reading Rainbow.
Oh, okay.
Dutch beer maker Heineken pressed charges saying its brand was being infringed by a Swiss beer called Blank.
Heineken?
No. Heineken. A judge ordered the Heineken beer to be seized after agreeing that the name Heineken was probably obviously a ripoff of the famous Dutch brand Heineken. It may be that Heineken is a pun. Keine Heineken. No Heineken. In German. In any event, the judge refused to rule on any other pending infringement cases, namely the cases of Mueller, Genuine Draft, Pabst Bluish Ribbon, and Bud Wiener. Corva, how did Mo do?
Well, Mo had 5 questions correct for 10 more points. Mo now has 12 points and has taken the lead.
Well done, Mo. Adam, you're up next. Fill in the blank. ABC announced that Charlie Gibson will be retiring as news anchor and would be replaced by blank.
Diane Sawyer.
Right. Because of the recession, blanks may soon make up the majority of American workers.
Temps.
Women. China disputed claims that North Korea captured the two American blanks when they were in China.
Journalists.
Right. During an interview with Vanity Fair magazine, former Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson repeatedly blanked while trying to discuss House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Laughed.
No, he audibly and violently threw up. He was really just sick. It wasn't an editorial comment. After serving 7 years in federal prison for bribery and racketeering, flamboyant former Congressman Blank was released from jail.
Jim Trafficant.
Right. An office worker in New Zealand was sacked from her healthcare company job after colleagues complained that her emails were too blank.
Full of capital letters.
Exactly right. Or as they put it, too shouty. That's right. For years, the caps lock key has served as the print world's metaphoric raised voice. But apparently, Vicky Walker, former accountant for ProCare Health in Auckland, got a little too cap happy. Co-workers complained her all-caps emails were too, quote, shouty, and were responsible for spreading disharmony around the workplace. She took her case to a tribunal. They reviewed the emails. They concluded she'd been unfairly fired and awarded her damages. In response, she said, "Thank you! I feel justice has been done!" Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
He who LOLs last.
Yeah.
The poor woman is hard of hearing. Give her a break.
Corva, how did Adam do in our quiz?
Well, Adam had 4 questions right, Peter. He got 8 points for a total of 11 points, but Mo still has the lead.
Oh, my gosh. This has really turned very suspenseful.
How many does Roxanne need to win?
Roxanne needs 4 to tie. Oh. She needs 5 right to win.
All right, Roxanne, ready? This is for the game. Officials in California determined that the blanks in Los Angeles were, quote, human-caused.
wildfires.
Right. The Washington Post reported upon, quote, lewd and deviant behavior by private security officials guarding the embassy in blank.
Kabul.
Right. Afghanistan. 9 weeks after his death, blank was finally buried in a Glendale, California cemetery.
Michael Jackson.
Right. The U.S. Department of Justice ordered pharmaceutical giant blank to pay a $2.3 billion fine for unethical and illegal drug marketing.
Pfizer.
Right. A police officer in Minnesota was busted when he was caught blanking.
Breaking into a donut shop.
No, breaking into a zoo and feeding the gorillas Pop-Tarts. In the current issue of Vanity Fair, Levi Johnson is interviewed, slamming former future mother-in-law blank.
Sarah Palin.
Right, a portion of Chicago's Magnificent Mile will be shut down for almost 3 days so that blank can tape the season premiere of her show.
Oprah.
Right, whatever she wants. A police dog lost the trail of an armed robbery suspect in Massachusetts last weekend when it was distracted by blank.
Steak in his pants?
Yes, although... It was in another guy's pants. That okay. was the problem. Witnesses at the scene of an armed robbery pointed police in the direction that the masked robber had run, so the officer sent his scent-tracking dog after him. The dog was running fast, hunting the trail of the criminal, when what in the world is that incredible smell? Police say they may have lost the armed robber, but they learned an important lesson that day. Even trained police dogs can't resist a shoplifter with his pants full of meat. Corey, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
Roxanne had 7 correct answers for 14 points. Roxanne has 18 points and is this week's champion.
There you go, Roxanne. Well done. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists what big health care announcement President Obama will make when he addresses a joint session of Congress next week. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our brand new intern is Ashley Rayfeld. Welcome, Ashley. Our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Liedemann composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Waltrover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now panel, what will President Obama's big health care announcement next week be? Mo Rocca.
Breakfast for every teenage girl.
Roxanne Roberts.
The new government health plan, chicken soup in a little pot in every kitchen.
And Adam Felber.
Don't worry, people who've outlived their usefulness will not be sent to death panels. Just as always, they'll be sent to Dancing with the Stars.
And if President Obama announces anything like that, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Corva Coleman's. You did such a great job. Thanks also to Adam Felber, Mo Rocca, and Roxanne Roberts. Thanks to all of you for listening. All of you. I'm Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.